Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indus Infra Trust Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, the Chief Executive Officer of The Investment Manager. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Renju. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Indus Infra Trust conference call for quarter ended 30th June 2026. I would like to start by saying how much we value your time and continued interest in the trust. Last quarter was an eventful one for us, and I'm really glad to walk you through personally. Just briefly touching upon the macro front, operating landscape for the road infrastructure in India remains structurally robust, backed by strong policy tailwinds and record execution. During the financial year FY26, national highway construction reached almost 5,313 km, surpassing the annual target of 4,640 km by nearly 15%. Under the flagship Bharatmala Pariyojana Phase 1, progress has been steady with 22,590 km constructed out of the 26,425 km awarded pipeline. A significant portion of this pipeline continues to be executed via the hybrid annuity model, reinforcing their long-term annuity-based income visibility across the sector. Cabinet approvals during the recent quarter further reinforced the government's commitment to expanding access-controlled economic corridors. Key project approvals across Madhya Pradesh NH-347B for 4,415 crore, 4,415. Telangana NH-63 and NH-563 for 7,597 crore. Bihar NH-31, NH-231 for almost 4,000 crore. And Odisha Coastal Highway from Rameshwar to Paradip for almost 8,300 crore. Collectively, add substantial asset depth to the national logistics network. For yield-focused platform like yours, this continuous build-out strengthens the future pool of high-quality operational infrastructure assets, and this, which is entering actually the monetization pipeline over time. Now, moving on to operational highlights and modernization. Against this supportive backdrop, our portfolio performance during Q1 FY27 remained steady and in line with our internal operating plans. All operational HAM assets within the trust demonstrated consistent, predictable performance. Annuity receipts from counterparts were received as per schedule, and our underlying asset maintenance, safety standards, and regulatory compliances remained fully on track with zero material deviations. At a broader industry level, NHAI's progressive shift towards predictive asset management, which is incorporating network survey vehicles, which we call NSVs in our parlance, drone analytics, which we call DAMS, and AI-powered dashcam analytics, which we call DASH, is transforming, or rather helping to transform operation and maintenance access operational corridors. We are proactively leveraging these technological advances to protect asset life, optimize maintenance life cycles, and ensure high operational availability. Now, with respect to capital allocation and portfolio expansion, Q1 FY27 has been a good transformative quarter for us in executing our long-term growth objectives. In line with our transaction trajectory communicated earlier, we completed the acquisition of KNR Palani Infra Private Limited and KNR Ramagiri Infra Private Limited during the June quarter from KNR Constructions. Furthermore, on 30th of June 2026, we successfully completed the acquisition of ULCCS Kasaragod Expressway Private Limited. These yield-accretive HAM assets meaningfully expected to enhance our cash flow longevity and portfolio diversification. To fund these strategic growth initiatives while preserving a conservative debt profile, the trust successfully completed a major capital raise in 2026. On 16 June, fundraise committee approved the allotment of 14.28 crore units via QIP placement, raising almost 1,700 crore, alongside a pref allotment of 2.52 crore units to our sponsor, Adarsh Infratech Private Limited, aggregating 300 crores. Both at an issue price of 119 per unit. Trading in these newly allotted units commenced on 18th of June 26. Also, to bridge transaction execution effectively, your trust raised 250 crores in unsecured listed commercial paper on 25th May 2026 at a competitive discount rate of 6.90%, which were subsequently listed on debt market segment of the NSE. The successful execution of capital raising across both debt and equity reflects the capital market's strong faith in our governance framework, asset management strategy, and yield trajectory. I would like to also inform you that for the quarter ended June 30, 2026, board has approved a distribution of rupees 3.55 per unit. Breakup of that is rupees 2.38 as interest and 1.17 as capital repayment to be paid to unit holders as of record date, which is 10th of August 2026, which will be paid on and before 17th of August 2026. Our cumulative distributions, including the distribution approved in the board meeting held on 5th August 2026, which was yesterday, stands at ₹31.25 per unit, positioning your trust as one of the stable yield platforms in the country. We continue to actively evaluate additional operational assets from ROFO pipeline and third-party developers, ensuring that future additions strictly meet our criteria of being yield accretive, operationally sound, and long-term cash generation. I now pass it on to Harshil, who will take you through the detailed financial numbers, after which we'll be open the floor for any queries you might have. Over to you, Harshil.
Thanks, Amit. Coming to Q1 FY27 performance on a standalone basis, the interest income on the loan extended by the trust to the SPVs was rupees 243.5 crores as against rupees 195.03 crores in Q4 FY26. The increase in the interest income was account of the additional debt on lent to three SPVs acquired in the month of March 2026, which was partially offset by the debt repayment done in the March quarter by the existing SPVs to the tune of 470 odd crores. Details of the loans on lent to SPVs are provided in the statement of related party transactions in the standalone financials. As SPVs have upstreamed cash flows in the form of interest and repayment, no dividend income was received during the quarter from the SPVs. EBITDA for the quarter was 203.70 crores, which included an impairment of 38.95 crores. The impairment was account on the difference in the fair value and book value of the investments. The total external borrowing at the trust as on June 30, 2026 stands at 5,623 crores. As against 3,688 crores during the last quarter. During the quarter, the trust availed additional borrowing of close to 2,000 crores to refinance external debt in the SPVs. 916 crores was availed to refinance external debt of Bilaspur Urga project and Ujjain Badnavar project, which were acquired in March quarter. And balance amount of 1,083 odd crores was availed to refinance debt of KNR Palni, KNR Ramagiri and ULCCS Kasargod Expressway project. Accordingly, the finance cost during the quarter increased to 72.17 crores from 42.47 crores. Further, we have availed additional borrowing for these three SPVs on June 30, 2026 and the interest burden on account of the same will get reflected from the next quarter onwards. The tax outflow on a standalone basis only on the other income earned by the trust. And the profit for the quarter stood at 127.77 crores. During the quarter, we have completed acquisition of three SPVs at an enterprise value of 1,912 crores. The asset-wise acquisition enterprise value of all the SPVs are provided in the investor presentation. On a consolidated basis, during the quarter, the total income was 301.66 crores, which consisted of 284.77 crores from revenue from operations and other income of around 17 crores. The revenue from operation included finance income of 220.78 crores as against 156.35 crores in Q4 FY26. The increase was on account of the new assets which was acquired during the quarter as well as in the last week of March. The revenue from contracts, which includes COS, O&M, utility and claims for the quarter stood at 50.44 crores as against 31.59 crores in the last quarter. The total expense for the quarter was 162.31 crores as against 105 crores in the last quarter. The increase has been primarily can be attributed to the finance income increase to the tune of 45.18 crores and subcontracting charges and other expenses increased by 17 odd crores. The same can be contributed to the additional debt borrowing as well as the O&M expenses of the new SPVs acquired. The total external borrowing on the consolidated basis as on June 30, 2026 stood at 6,344 crores, which is higher as compared to the standalone financials on account of non-repayment of certain debt on June 30, 2026, which was subsequently paid out on July 1, 2026. Going forward, for the existing portfolio, the total debt remains as 5,622 crores. Coming to the NDCF, the cash flow from operations of the SPVs and other income of the SPVs combined together was 233.68 crores. Considering release of encumbered cash of the new SPVs and the finance cost at SPV level, the total SPV level NDCF worked out to 359.29 crores, which was upstream to the InvIT. Post adjusting for finance cost, trust level expenses, and release of the DESRA reserve created at the trust level on account of replacement of the DESRA requirement through a bank guarantee, the NDCF for the quarter works out to 225.77 crores, the details of which are given in the presentation on the slide 10. Out of which, the 216.91 crores is proposed to be distributed, resulting in a distribution of 3.55 per unit. The form of distribution is 2.38 in the form of interest and 1.17 in the form of repayment, which is payable within 5 working days from the record date of August 10, 2026. Thank you, and we are open to questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sarvesh Gupta, Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question is, so last quarter, I think last when we declared the NAV, it was 116.8 or something, and that was pre the Q4 DPU, so it would have fallen. So I wanted to know if you have a management estimate of the current NAV as on 30th June after the fundraise, and how much did it increase because of the fundraising?
Yeah, hi Sarvesh. I think as per the management expectation, it should be around 118.
So 118 is before the distribution for 30th June, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how much did it increase? Like it would have increased by a few, for 1 rupee or something because of the fundraise?
Yeah, yeah, it has. And it has increased by almost just so I think so it fallen to after distribution, you know, it had fallen to around 113.31 because we had distributed 3.5 in the last quarter, right? So 116.81 became 113.31. Then it went up to 116.71, and post QIP it went up to around 180.
Okay. Understood. And this ULCCS asset, whom did you guys acquire this asset from, and at what sort of IRR?
IRR in the range of around 13.5-14, and this was acquired from a labor credit cooperative society. This name is ULCCS, Urulungal Labor Credit Cooperative Society.
So this 13.5 to 14% is the equity IRR, right?
Yep.
Okay. And what is the incremental cost of borrowing that you have done for acquisitions and for the refinancing of the debt at the SPV level which were acquired?
That was in the range of around 715 to 720.
Both for refinancing and acquisition debt.
Acquisition, we did not take in because we raised QIP, right, for doing the acquisition. The refinancing debt cost, I'm telling you, that was in the range of 715 to 720.
Okay. Okay. And on the DPU, so we have distributed 3.55 for this quarter. So
we have announced to distribute, yeah. We have announced, yes, not yet distributed.
Yeah, yeah, announced. Yes, yes. So now, if we analyze that, so can we assume at least 14.2 for this year? And what would be the mix in terms of the capital return and interest?
See, we had given guidance of around 14 rupees, right, in the last quarter's, or rather the full year's earnings call. So we stick to that. Anything over and above that, that we'll see. That we'll get to know by Q3, Q4. But I think we are very much, you know, in the range of what we have given the guidance. And you, one thing you also have to just, you know, take into cognizance that now this 14 or whatever the guidance we have given on the expanded capital, right? So that itself is basically will entail a higher outlay in terms of, you know, overall cash outflow.
Okay. And in general, how is the environment for acquisition from third-party assets and how much more are you planning to acquire from the sponsor for this year, number one? And what is the environment like? Because, you know, right now what is happening is there are so many road invites being set up. You know, every month we are hearing some new invite which is getting set up both in private and public space. So,
yeah,
you know, there is obviously a lot of demand also for them to acquire these operational assets, especially the HAM ones. So how do you see that acquisition environment, and is there anything which helps us to sort of do it better than others? And on the sponsor side, you know, how is the pipeline looking like for this year and next year, please?
So sponsor side, I think pipeline remains robust. So not sponsor, but from GR, sponsor is Adashila. They don't have any asset to sell. From GR, yes, there's around, we are targeting 5 to 6 assets acquisition by this year end. And on a non-GR, basically, yes, environment has been competitive. For the last 1 or 2 years, I'd say environment has been competitive. As you rightly said, a lot of new players. So, you know, everybody is just basically chasing the same asset, right? So that is also working, maybe resulting into a maybe more compressed IRR in terms of, or a resultant, you know, more compressed resultant IRR for any inbuilt. But I think we see in pockets opportunity because the market is low. There's opportunity for everyone. But yes, we see opportunity in pockets for the quality assets. And that we need to be very vigilant and use our, you know, technical ability which we have backed by GR and, of course, the third-party evaluation we do with the help of third-party consultant so that, you know, we don't get caught on the wrong side in terms of assessment of the asset technically and, you know, basically what we rightly, you know, what we just said on the call, right, that we have to be very careful about what exactly things we are picking up in terms of so that it remains yield accretive. So environment, just to sum it up, yes, environment is competitive, but yeah, in the pockets we see opportunity. We are evaluating third-party assets because in the third-party 5 assets we have signed SPA, 3 have acquired, 2 we are targeting someone this quarter itself. But we are also evaluating third-party assets. There are a couple of situations are there. And hopefully we'll see how, you know, we are able to close it, say, by, you know, maybe by, say, FY 2027.
Okay. One final question on the, you know, so now recently again, you know, we have seen some news items where, you know, a very recent opened road asset was found to be sub-quality, some substandard in parts of it. So, you know, now one concern is also there with regard to, let's say, the future spends that is required to keep these road in good quality. Especially because earlier also there was a lot of competition also, you know, from very many smaller players, and there was a concern at NHAI level also that the roads being constructed are not of good quality, and that is why I think they have tightened some of these adjusted network norms and other norms, et cetera. So now that since we will be acquiring all these roads from that vintage, you know, basically newly operational roads, you know, are we up for surprises in terms of the maintenance spend which is required for these assets and on both ROFO and non-ROFO assets, and how do we look into that risk for us?
No, so I think, means I can't rule out any possibility of, say, some negative, you know, kind of surprises, because it's not that roads are, at the end of the day, you know, roads, whatever good quality, you know, you would have been built with, nobody can predict that there's nothing is going to come, say, in the next 14, 15 years. You do your diligence properly and be very much sure that what you're going to buy actually is as per, you know, what you think, and you don't get caught on the wrong side. But at the same time, can we be 100% sure? No. Answer is no, we can't be. Look, at the end of the day, this is a business, and business is run with some risk. It can't be foolproof. Now coming back to how we are trying to mitigate. So of course, for all the ROFO assets, even for the non-ROFO assets also, like for ULCCs, we have done a back-to-back with ULCCs only at a fixed time, fixed price. Okay? That is a quality asset, one of the best asset out, I would say, in my portfolio till date. So, but again, we did a back-to-back with ULCCs so that there's a fixed time, fixed price. So we are trying to mitigate that thing so that there's no, say, for example, implication on our cash flow. But eventually, anything can happen, say, if a road, because of, say, your any, you know, major calamity, anything happen, you are, you also have some kind of insurance, you know, cover. You can do that. You may have to spend first, you get your claims, you have to restore it. But the thing is, good part in the HAM concession is annuities keep coming on time. They don't stop the annuity, subject to you restoring the asset. So there are risks, but yeah, how you are mitigating those risks, that's something, you know, you need to be very careful about. And those, basically things we are taking care of by getting into a fixed time, by having a proper insurance, by not going into a very difficult terrain, or maybe the terrain also, difficult terrain also, but, you know, analyzing the risk, quantifying the risk, taking, you know, mitigating it properly. Those things you keep doing, maybe being more proactive on the O&M bit. There are a lot of AIs have come. You are doing some kind of, you know, check so that things might get worse here, one or two year down the line. Do some proactive things, you know, upfront, so that, you know, it doesn't go down that, you know. So I think, you know, there are a lot of ways we are trying to do it, but if I can tell you that anything is foolproof, there's nothing going to happen in our roads for the next 15 years, answer is no. Yes, we have to be up for some kind of, you know, negative surprises, too.
But mostly you are into fixed price, so basically you know the absolute spend which will be required.
Yeah. Till date, all the 16 assets which are there in our portfolio, they are a fixed price contract.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Prashant Garg with Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Available to you? Yes, yes. Hi, Prashant. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So thanks for giving me the opportunity. My first question is, as I can see, your net debt to AUM currently stands at 34. At what level you are comfortable to run the business? At what level of debt? another question to the extension to your previous answers is that you will be able to add 6 assets by FY27. So at what valuation you will be adding, what is the IRR, what will be the size, and will you require any further capital raise on that?
So I had said around 5 to 6, ROFO assets. Could be 5, could be 6, because different assets are at a different thing. You have received PCOD, but not the full PCOD. So that's what I'm saying, maybe 5 to 6. Those 5 to 6 assets, if I say put together, EV will be around, say, 5,200 crores of those 5 to 6 assets, or maybe 6 assets. If 5, of course, the number will be lesser. With a debt to equity mix of around, say, 3,200 to 2,000 crores equity. As of now, if the thing goes as per what we think, because you have a lot of NHI approvals, there are a lot of technical things, you need to get it done first, then NHI gives you NOC. So if all those condition precedent CPs of the transaction say fall in place as per the timeline what we are thinking, it may happen that we may have to raise some more equity. Amount I'm going to tell you now, because we also have some internal cash accruals also. So how much we can use for the, say, for the, those acquisitions, that also we'll just try to see. But yeah, we may have to do some fundraise towards the fag end. But currently, as you see, we are very decently placed. In terms of debt to OEM, generally we don't see net, we see gross. Gross basis, yeah, we are around 48%. That is also because of something, 500-600 crores repayment which we could not do while we did, and it's technically, it is still showing on our balance sheet. Otherwise, that 48 is in the range of around 43-44%. So we are at 43-44%, and I think we have been maintaining it that we don't want to cross, say, maybe 88-90% of that 70% threshold ceiling what we have. So we'd want to play somewhere around, say, with 45-50% to 60-62-63%. When you touch, you are approaching 62-63%, again do the fundraise, come back to 45-50%. So that's the threshold you want to play around with.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you for the answers. Yeah, sure. That will be all.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Deep Vakil with Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, hi, Deep. Yes, you are very much audible.
Hey, Amit Harshal. Congratulations on a good set of results. Only two questions. There were some new norms that have come in some consultation paper that MMR is not to be deducted while calculating NDCF. So I think earlier, even though it was funded through debt, but it used to be deducted. So does this really have a material impact on the distribution of NDCF? I mean, can you throw some light?
Yeah, so I think this is for the debt. So you can avail debt, right? And you can to do that MMR. So that's a new question paper. So if... So now if you'll be availing a new debt to do the MMR, of course it will not be considered for NDCF. So that anyway is taking care of that.
Sir, earlier also this used to happen, right? And that, I mean, hello.
No, so earlier debt was only allowed for acquisition, right?
Okay. Not
now they have allowed for the MMR to doing MMR also.
Got it. And sir, one thing, I think there have been some rules or something around introduction of depository receipts of InvIT to be listed on foreign exchanges to attract foreign capital. Your views around this, or what market chatter are you hearing on this point?
I think this is two new things, where we would have any chatter with anybody now. I don't think we are discussing. This is more, future perspective. I don't think there's any serious chatter around this.
Sure. And sir, what will be the latest cash reserves as on date? June end?
I think that's there in the
consolidated financial statement.
That's there in the consolidated financial statement. Yes, there. It's there.
Oh, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Kumar Singh for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Anju. We truly appreciate our unit holders' continued engagement, support and confidence in our trust. Anything which, you know, we get to know or any update, we'll keep all our unit holders posted. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Indus Infra Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.